America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Chris, we don't usually have a lot of guests on Inside Boxing Live, but when we do, they are worthy guests. We're joined right now by a man that will be vying for his first world title on February 14th, the Pride of Norfolk, Virginia, the businessman, Keyshawn Davis. Awesome to have you on the show, my man. How's everything going?
Everything going great, man. Thank you for having me.
Things are looking up for you, man. This is, I've proclaimed it, a breakout year for you. This could be the year of Keyshawn Davis in 2025. You're positioned for it. You've put in the work. Are you feeling the same way? Are you feeling like, wow, the next 12 months are about to be crazy?
Yes, honestly, like, yes, I am. It's funny because I recently just bought a house out here in Vegas. And it's like, damn, man, if everything goes as planned this year, I'll fuck around buy another house.
Get that real estate portfolio up, man. That's the way to be.
You feel me? I already got two in there, so shoot. We might just go for three this year.
Isn't that the first big move, Chris, though? Like, either you're going to Vegas to do sparring, you're finding somewhere to shack up over there, or you just eventually just move to Vegas. I feel like that's a big move for fighters.
Well, I started out sleeping on couches. So I had friends that I was staying at their places, sleeping on a couch in a garage, and then renting a house, then eventually, you know, doing camps out there and staying at the casinos. But yeah, no, that's a logical step for a fighter to move to Vegas. Because when it comes to training, I know we talk about the Mecca of boxing is in New York City, but when it comes to training, the Mecca is Vegas.
Yeah, for sure.
Was that a big reason why you did that move, or just strictly just I want another house in another location? Or was it a boxing in mind?
Yeah. Nah, honestly, man, I moved out here just for boxing. And who honestly really, really put this on my radar? Because I was already like feeling like I should move out here. But who really put it on my radar was Todd the Buff. Todd was like, man, you need to get your ass out there in Vegas. Like, it's this, it's that. But he was just explaining everything. And then what really sold me on Vegas was when they took me to the UFC, to USC facility, the PI and the Apex back in 2020. You know, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I'm about to move out here. I can just go to the PI and just train anytime I want to. And it was a no-brainer after that. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely made my way out here, 2023.
Go ahead, Chris.
Keyshawn, man, you got a world title fight coming up. This is your first world title. You only get one of these, right? You only get one first world title shot. And right. You know, listen, I remember mine. Just where's your head at right now? You're fighting in the Garden, which is another major milestone for a lot of fighters. And to fight for a world title there, that's a big deal. So where's your head at about that?
I mean, honestly, I'm taking this like any old other fight. Like, like every fight in boxing is the biggest fight of your life. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose, then what? If you get knocked out, then what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not treating this like any different, honestly. Like, it's just another fight. Like, I've been fighting all my life, and I know what I need to do to get prepared for fights. And Baranchik is just another opponent to me. So I don't really get into all the enthusiastics and, oh, I'm at the Mecca of sport, and, oh, it's my first world. So I don't get into all that because that's just nothing but distractions. I just go in here, go train, come back home, chill out, you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, when the fight comes, that's when it's just time to fight, you know?
So the businessman is staying business as usual.
Yeah, man. Like, I know I can fight, bro. Like, I know I can fucking fight. The only thing I just need to do is to stay focused.
Well, if you're not going to say that it's like, if you're going to say it's like any other fight, I'm going to go ahead and say it's not like any other fight. This is a world title fight because if you go on and win this fight, you become the hunted. Like, you are the hunter. Like, you're calling out Gervonta Davis. You're calling out different types of fighters. You become the hunted. You have that strap in a division that is loaded. So I as much as I know that you don't want to say that things will change, because that's the right mentality to have as a fighter, of course. But man, like, if you win that fight, I feel like there's so many opportunities for big fights to be made. There's so many opportunities for you yourself. I'm sure you're feeling that a little bit.
I mean, no, I got to go in there and get the win first. And then I'll probably start feeling that shit. As of right now, I got to go in there and win. Like, that's all that matters right now. And how I go in there and win is just staying calm, staying relaxed. Not thinking about too much of the stuff that's going to happen fight week, or the stuff that's going to happen after the fight, after I win. I can't think about all that shit right now. It's too much. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I still got to live life at the end of the day outside of boxing. You know what I'm saying? Like, people go through real shit.
Well, you guys so have lives, like, outside of boxing? I didn't know that.
Well, I just showed you my son, so you should know that.
Everyone thinks like these athletes, they just show up on fight night. They forget like there's just like family life. There's kids, there's stress, there's everything involved.
Yeah, right, for real. And people be forgetting that, yes, we're superhumans, but we're still human. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the facts of it all.
Yeah, well, speaking to that, a couple weeks ago, I was at the Top Rank gym. I had one of my guys sparring, and Keyshawn was there. You had your son in hand watching your brother spar. So, I mean, it was a family affair, always staying in shape. You know, how's camp been? How you feeling? Again, you're saying it's just another day in the office, but how are you feeling? How's everything going into your first world title fight?
Coming off my last fight, man, it wasn't too far off. You know what I'm saying? And I still feel like I'm in shape. I'm weighing 144, you know, less than 10 pounds away from my weight. So this time around, it's definitely different because I don't want to do too much. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't come into camp out of shape, but I literally came into camp in shape. Like, I'm already firing on all cylinders. So we prepared strategically this time. It's not just going hard and getting in shape. Blah, blah, blah. It's definitely strategically this time because I am in shape. But the only thing I can say that's definitely different this time around from the Gustavo fight, I feel way stronger, like strong, like I'm a man now.
you look pretty strong that night, champ.
So yeah, you blew him out, man. Let's talk about that fight. I mean, was I pissed off when this guy comes in overweight like he did? I feel like it was on purpose. I feel like it was a plan. It obviously blew up in his face. This is a big moment for you because it was the first main event in Norfolk, Virginia. There was a lot going into that for you. Do you feel like that was a good test for you in terms of him being a viable contender? And then you're throwing this curveball the night before the fight or a couple days before the fight with the weight. Like, take us through that and how you were feeling. And it was that a big test for you? And did you use that as like, you know what? Like, this wasn't a title fight, but damn, like, I had to deal with some stuff that wasn't really part of the game plan.
Man, no. To answer your question, I don't think that was a big test for me. I think that was just like a fight, like, I'm about to prove all y'all wrong. Like, I'm about to show y'all how good I really am, because y'all don't know how good I am. I do. I knew I was going to go in there and whoop Gustavo ass. And when I was saying that before the fight, people was like, oh, this kid is cocky. I can't wait till he get humbled and he think he's better than what he is. So when I went out there and did that, I'm like, I fucking told you. Like, I'm good. You know, but I feel like my test, honestly, was when I fought Miguel Dueno, that Mexican kid. That fight was real rough, and we picked each other up and throwing each other back down, and all type of rough tactics was going on during that fight. Like, that fight got me ready for my entire career. Mm-hmm. I don't think it could get any tougher, like rougher and more dirty than something like that. You know, so I feel like that fight right there was my test. And going into the Gustavo fight, it was just like, if you don't come as tough as that last opponent, then you're fucked.
Yeah, but he was playing the mind games, though, with the weight. Like, yeah, the physical test came in that fight that you just mentioned. The mind games with the weight, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, did you feel like that was a tactic on his part?
I mean, bro, like,
if it was, it didn't work.
It was, I mean, like, I'm a guy that, cucumber
all week. Like, it didn't seem like it bothered you at all.
Like, y'all got to remember, like, I'm a guy that, you know, that came from the mental home, that came from being on depressant medicine and losing himself mentally. So I went through that test already personally. So another guy, a human, cannot put me through nothing worse than I already put myself through. You know, so all the mind games, all the mental games, that shit did not scare me at all. And plus, I got a great team around me, you know, so we already had a game plan of how we going to approach this fight, even though that he came in overweight. You know what I'm saying? So all the mind games and stuff like that, bro, that shit don't bother me.
Speaking of game plan, your team, yeah, let's talk about Baranchuk. Like, what do you see in this guy? I'm sure you've been studying, looking at what he's done in the past. I mean, he's a tricky guy. What is your team's mindset going into this fight?
I mean, honestly, bro, like, he's not really tricky, bro. Like, you got to sit back and actually watch boxing, right? Or just watch him. And I ain't going to say y'all don't watch boxing or anybody. But if you sit back and watch, if you watch him, bro, like, bro, he's really a fucking one-handed fighter. He's tricky with his feet, you know what I'm saying? He's a great fighter with his feet, and, you know, he keeps people guessing because he always in and out and using his feints and stuff like that. But in terms of actually him throwing punches, like, he's really a one-handed fighter. Honestly, go back and watch him. He uses his fucking – he's southpaw. He uses his right hand like a motherfucker. Like, that's all he want to land is his right hand. Whether he's southpaw, he want to jab you to death, or when he switch orthodox, he just trying to get this one off. Like, he's really a one-handed fighter. So, like, when it comes down to a fighter like me, bro, it's just going to take more than that.
Now, you talk about, I talked about how you will become the hunted if you win this fight. There is a big name at 135. He goes by the name of Gervonta Davis. I'm bringing this up because you called him out. You said his name after your last fight. I loved when you did that because we went on our show the following Monday, and I was like, Keyshawn Davis versus Gervonta Davis is a viable fight. Like, this isn't some, like, pipe dream that Keyshawn's talking about. If you take a look at some of the opponents that Gervonta Davis has been fighting or is currently fighting, especially if you have a belt now. I know he's not big into belts, but eventually he's going to have to see someone that has a belt just by process of elimination. Is that someone you have an eyes on, Gervonta Davis?
Bro, I got my eyes on the biggest fights in boxing, bro. And, of course, you know, he's the face of the sport in 135. So, of course, and I'm going to say this again because I had other interviews today. If it was somebody else at the top that was the face of boxing, I'd be calling them out, you know. But he's up there. So, you know, I would like to fight him, bro. But I don't have my eyes set on I got to fight Gervonta. No, fuck Gervonta. I'm creating my name for myself at the end of the day. People want to see me fight because they just want to see me fight. You know, I brought up Gervonta. They like, oh, shit, that would be a good fight. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I'm creating my own lane for myself. And whoever's willing to fight me is going to get in the ring and fight me. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the power to send him a contract so we can fight. He have the power to do that to me. You know what I'm saying? So if we fight, it's going to be because of he sent me a contract and because he wants to fight. If he don't want to fight, then we're not going to fight. But he know that I want to fight him.
Doesn't hurt calling him out.
Yeah, right. You know
already,
what I'm saying?
You already done that. So.
Right. That's the only thing I can do. Shit.
Yeah. But put some pressure on.
In other words, you're saying it's not about the man. It's about the position. He's the guy who's in that position. That's where you want to be.
It's not personal. It's all business. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take a look at the landscape of the sport, I mean, you got guys that are leaving 135. That's some of the bigger names that I'm sure you want to. Devin Haney's going to 147. Ryan Garcia is wherever he's at 154, wherever. That guy can fight wherever. Know. And you have some of these other names that are jumping up and out of the lightweight picture, but I feel like Tank is a 135-pounder. I mean, he weighs in at 133 sometimes. I've been around the guy. He's not big. Like, he could fight at 140, and he has fought at 140. But my point is I think he's sticking around.
Fight at 130 at that.
Right. I mean, the guy's not big. So my point is I see him sticking around 135. And what makes me a little optimistic about a fight being made between the two of you guys is he had a deal in place with Vasily Lomachenko before Lomachenko decided that he wanted to either retire or take some more time off. So I think business can be made between Top Rank and PBC or whoever Gervonta is with. So you take care of business on February 14th. I just think that fight gets even louder. I think that fight becomes even more viable. If you take a look at the landscape of the sport, there's not many at 135. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way for sure. I think the only thing the businessman is missing from his brand is a world championship, is a world title, you know? After I get that world title, bro, it's going to be like, I feel like the pressure is going to be on him. Honestly, like, yo, this kid right here is a world champion. He looks great. He got power. He's exciting, bro. Why are you fighting him type shit? I think that's how it's going to be. But, hey, you know, after I get this world title, we'll see.
I mean, that's what it is. The pressure, there is a lot of pressure on Tank, because there's a lot of fans out there that are not upset with his level of opposition. They say, go fight another champion. Well, there's one waiting right there. I mean, there's one right there. If you win, you know, we got to keep saying that, right, Chris? If you come here, I don't want to count the chickens.
Well, we're not going to say if, we're going to say when I win.
Right.
I was waiting for that. But the guy with situation with Tank don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks. That's why, champ, I think you
put it does. He really does, though. He really fucking does.
He tweets a lot.
It doesn't make him change his movements, though, because I don't know if he's really in control of who he fights and when he fights. But so in terms of,
you know, why wouldn't you be, though? Somebody can't make you fight.
No, but there's powers that be that can make things, you know, difficult. Not everyone's a businessman like you are and is willing to, you know, to call out who they want to fight and make decisions. Listen, I was the same way. I fought whoever I wanted to fight. I didn't have to answer anybody, but a lot of fighters aren't necessarily like that.
Well, another thing with Tank is I feel like eventually when you get to his level, you said he's the face of boxing, Keyshawn, and I think he's one of the faces, definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
But if the fans are upset with you, they're going to pester you nonstop. They're going to be in your comments. They're going to be in your interactions. They're going to tell you, fight someone, until he gets to the point where he just gets so annoyed. I'm not saying that should be the reason why he would take a fight with you, but I do think he's starting to feel the pressure. I do agree with you, Keyshawn, that he's almost kind of starting to get a little bit cornered in terms of who his opponent's going to be. He fights you, there's no complaints. Like, if you're a boxing fan, you cannot complain about a unification bout between two guys under, he's now 30, or in their primes. So I don't see how that fight doesn't get discussed on February 15th and forward.
He fight March 1st, right?
Yeah, bro, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
You guys are on the same schedule. Yeah, you know, that's a businessman right there. See that, Chris?
Thinking ahead.
He's got the
schedule. But that's the power of having a title. Once you step into that room, once you have that strap, everything changes. And I know you're saying this is like any other fight, but like Dan said, things change, man. When you got that strap, just the business changes once you got that strap.
Shit, the money changes, most important.
I was going to say that next. That's exactly
right. Money, everything, all the big stuff. February 22nd is a huge card over in Saudi Arabia. March 1st is the Tank fight. February 14th is your fight. So that's 3 weeks in a row where we're seeing big time matchups at lightweight. So there's a lot going on in the box. You keep your eyes on what's going on in Saudi. You're going to see you fight there one day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, potentially, you know, if an opportunity opens up. I mean, I'm here to put on big fights, big performances, bro. Like, that's all I'm really here to do. Like, after I get this world title, I want nobody but big names in the ring with me. I don't want to fight people that don't nobody know, honestly. That don't bring no money to the table, and that don't bring no excitement. I'm a person that wanna bring excitement to the sport. Like, I'm not a person that wanna be boring. Like y'all see who I am. Like, I'm always energetic in my press conferences and weigh-ins, and like, I'm an entertaining person, bro. I'm just gifted with that. You know what I'm saying? So in terms of making great fights, my first step of making a great fight was fighting Gustavo in my hometown. I could afford Nicholas Walters, literally. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to fight Gustavo. I wanted to make a great fight. You know what I'm saying? So I'm living up to my words. You know what I'm saying? And after I become a world title, I want nobody but big names in the ring with me.
I want the Tank fight. I want to see that. I'm going to push for it. I've already been pushing for it on our show. And everyone's like, well, what are you talking about? He's not ready. I'm like, okay, watch when he beats Lemos. And then I just saw how the tea leaves were looking with Baranchuk. It was either going to be you getting that shot or someone else at top rank. So you get that belt and everything falls into place. But Lomachenko's out there too. I'm sure you would want him that type of fight.
That's a good fight too.
Yeah, hell yeah. I would love to fight Lomachenko. And especially after Gustavo fight, I know Lomachenko probably have his eyes set on me too. But maybe he wanted to go out with a bang with Tank. Like, I wouldn't be mad with Lomachenko fighting Tank. Like, that's a big fight for the both of them. Make great money, and it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, like, I understand business. You know what I'm saying? So if Lomachenko want to go that route, I mean, shit, cool. If he want to go this route, shit, even better. You know what I'm saying? But shit, again, I'm here to put on, you know, great fights and great performances at the end of the day.
Chris, you got anything else for the businessman?
I was just saying, but that Lomachenko fight, I love that. Any chance you have an opportunity to get a legend on your record, that's a big move. You know, that's legacy stuff. But you got a lot of great opportunities ahead of your way, Keyshawn. I'm going to be there at your next fight. I will be there for the weigh-in. Okay. I'll be the fight. I'll be checking you out. So looking forward.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch this fight. I think this is you're really in a position to break out. I think there's a big void in the U.S. Well, a lot of these fights overseas, I think there's a big void in the U.S. for a star, someone that really wants it too, which everyone can see that you want this. That's the thing. Like, you want the limelight, and usually good things happen in the sport of boxing when the fighter is marketable and the fighter is damn good, which
and
you
willing,
are.
And willing to take all the smoke. And that's what American audiences need. We need someone who's ready for everybody, and that's the only way to be if you want to be champ.
Yeah, February 14th, Madison Square Garden, the businessman Keyshawn Davis, Dennis Baranchik. We are starting our countdown. We cannot wait for it. Thanks for the time, brother, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon.